Hey, my name is Isaiah Frizzell. I am an author of the coloring book, Life Isn't Black and White, Your Experiences Color Who You Are. I'm a mental health coach, certified personal trainer, actor, busybody, all the things, but I'm a human first. And you are watching Quincy Studio Q.
It's your girl, Quincy.
We are here with Salt
How has Gail...
Don't get me crying.
And we are here live at the SAG Awards. Leave a message. What's the biggest lesson motherhood has taught you?
To be honest.
Studio
I'm
Q.
The Q in the studio.
All right, cutie.
Different world.
Thanks for coming. Thank you for being
letting me
know you.
It's a meant to view a shit over here.
This is probably the best interview I've ever done.
And you're such a great interview. My goodness.
This is honestly the best interview I've had in months.
I'm hanging out with my booskies.
Studio Q, baby.
Welcome to another Studio Q interview. I am so excited. If you're listening to this on my podcast, thank you for listening. If you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, whatever the platform is, thank you for watching. If you are rewatching this or watching this for the first time on replay, thank you so much for watching. Today is a special treat for me because I have been a fangirl of Isaiah Frizzell, just learned how to say his name correctly, from TikTok. And I got a chance to get his attention to do this interview. So I am like super, super excited. Let me tell you a little bit why I'm so honored and privileged to interview him. He's out here giving I just discovered him, but he's out here been giving a bird's eye view on mental health, self-love, and growth for a while now. Isaiah is an actor. He's a podcaster of the Bird Brain podcast, which has a new episode every Monday. He's a writer. He's got a book out called The Coloring Book. Yes, he does, a book called The Coloring Book. And he also writes and narrates Night Owl, which is fiction horror story. He's a certified fitness trainer and a human who gives insightful knowledge on such a consistent basis that I promise you just watching one of his videos will help you make your next move. I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. It's Isaiah Frizzell in the building. Sir, thank you. I have been horrible at intros, but I'm getting better. So you are the recipient of my better days as an intro.
Come on now. Thank you for having me. That was an amazing introduction. I'm like, my face hurts because I was smiling so hard. I'm like, man, hearing all that is crazy. So thank you for bringing me into your space properly.
Yeah, listen, that's you. And I have grown because I'm a person who starts in the middle, you know, mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. red carpet or in, you know, one of my gifts is being able to make people feel comfortable. But yes, people watching need to know who you are. And a proper intro is always decent. So I've grown. I'm learning, Isaiah.
More growth. Hashtag growth. We out here.
Hashtag growth. So listen, this video that I'm about to show everybody for the TikTok world, the YouTube Shorts world, it's a bit longer than maybe you're used to, but it encapsulates why I love Isaiah Frizzell and his content because of exactly like what he focuses on, how he focuses on it. And it splinters to different parts of that. But for me, this is the core. So this is one of the videos that has really resonated with me. And, you know, watch it and you will see why. And I look forward to having this conversation with you on the other side of this, Isaiah.
Okay.
So
right.
Here's looking at you, kid.
The beautiful thing about the discourse around friendship is it lets us know a few things. First off, it tells us how important friendship actually is, and the fact that people do not like being labeled as bad friends, which is why there's this game of semantics in terms of what constitutes a friendship and what does not, what people are okay with and what people should be okay with, and what's not acceptable, right? If we keep avoiding the reality that a friendship is a relationship, then we won't have to accept that we failed as quote-unquote partners, right? We could avoid the reality that we may not be good friends, okay? What I've understood is a lot of people don't know how to be friends because, again, it is a relationship that requires a level of intention and consistency, not frequency and not convenience, but intention to make it work, okay? If we look at boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever the case may be, and we don't talk to somebody for 6 months or even a year, that's no longer a relationship. You're breaking up. Why? Because there's no effort put into that relationship, right? There's a difference between an acquaintance and somebody you just know and have history with. Yeah, we could go the distance and not really talk to each other. Why? Because there's no investment or care in terms of the relationship. It is what it is. Versus a friendship that's active. That's being a participant in each other's lives, not just showing up when somebody's in a crisis. That's a first responder. And if you only show up to somebody when they're in a crisis, that lets us know that you're not committed to the relationship otherwise, okay? And if you were constantly showing up to a crisis, you'd get tired and you'd eventually back out, right? Because that's requiring more of you than what you're willing to commit to, right? Crises are typically isolated incidents. The fact of the matter is this. A lot of people accessorize, right? They wear their busyness, they wear their job, they wear their kids, they wear their significant other as a way to deflect the responsibility of where they may be failing at. I'm too busy. I got these things going on. Well, I'm in a relationship, so that's different. And you're not. Okay. If people were as busy as they said they were, social media as an entity wouldn't be doing so well. People make time for what they want to make time for. And no one comes into this life in a relationship. People make effort to sustain the relationships that they want to sustain. Okay, one of the things I've learned and remind myself is to not try to form deeper bonds with people who don't scratch the surface. Listen to what people tell you and listen to how they value things. And then you go from there. Because you can't put people on pause like they're a TV show that you're just going to watch at your convenience. And you're not the main character in somebody else's story. We're all main characters in our own lives, but some people are participants in somebody else's narrative. It just depends on the level of importance there. And friendship is very important.
Yes, Isaiah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? For our TikTok 10-second videos, whatever, keep us scrolling. But yes. This right here, can you tell me, like, where did you get, first of all, just you being a Black man showing up in a space of self-worth, relationships, accountability, just all of that right there is just amazing and brilliant. But can you tell me, where did you get all this wisdom and how does it formulate this, I don't know, just this foundation of relationship, of friendship? Because you use that, like, no matter if it's romantic, no matter if it's familial, you're like, it's about relationship 101.
Yes, ma'am. Where do I get my wisdom from? That's a question that people ask me a lot. And truth be told, I'm like, just life. I think through observation, right? Through observation, obviously my own experiences, but also being raised in a certain way. I think, you know, they say the calls are always coming from inside the house, right? And you learn a lot about the relationship dynamics, whether it's in a roundabout way, an indirect way, or very direct, right? Someone who's very intentional about how they treat you and how they teach you in terms of how you treat others. So for me, it's just a big stew pot of taking what I've experienced, taking what other people may have experienced, and just kind of putting it together to make it as clear as possible in terms of, like, look, relationships matter. And not just a romantic partnership, although that's what society tells us, you know, that's the most important thing. You're successful when you have a romantic partner. But you have to understand, before a romantic partner came, you had familial relationships. And after familial relationships, which are friendships, right? You learn the fundamentals of what relationships are before you get there. And I think the issue or the hiccup comes that people think that, you know, friends are only friends when you need them. but you are not obligated to be a friend on the receptive end, right? It's one-sided, and people don't realize how important friends are until they no longer have them. So
yes.
For me, I'm always very cognizant of being intentional in relationships. And, you know, I don't wait until someone passes to be like, well, life is too short, right? Life was always short. You just thought that you had more time than the average person because in your head and on your time, all these other things mattered first.
Yeah.
Right? People always matter.
And I love you said that we don't need a ton of people in our lives. We just need a few that mean a ton.
Period. Simple. Yeah. It's quality over quantity. And I think the way I understand it, and even through research, is like the average person has only about 3 to 5 close friends. 3 to 5. And as you get older, that number kind of changes. If you're doing friendship and relationship properly, the circle that you have condenses. And like, yeah, you're friendly with people and you have this rapport. But overall, in terms of what a friend actually is, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. A friendship is a relationship, which means that you have to emotionally invest. There has to be a level of trust, reciprocity, intention, right? There is closeness there. And it's not just about physical intimacy. There is still intimacy in a friendship, you know?
Yeah. But how do we learn to be a good friend? Because you said most people don't know how to be good friends. And I think ego tells a lot of people, like, excuse me, I'm the bestest friend like that you could ever have. You know, people automatically assume that.
Yeah, well, that's such a good question. I think how people learn is first, you know, paying attention to what matters to you and why, and even have an open dialogue with another person. Because, you know, sometimes you go through life and you're like, well, yeah, this is just a norm. This is what I know. And then somebody comes along and is like, well, no, that's not right. And you learn something. Now you have this different trajectory and perspective about how life should be or how you should treat people. And because of that one person, right, whether they become a friend or not, you just learn a different quality of life and what it means to treat people properly. So it's about being receptive and actually having a level of humility, right? Having a level of humility, but also a willingness to not just treat people how you want to be treated, but just treat people well, right? Yeah. Not at your convenience, but with some level of consistency and conviction.
Yeah. And I also love that you said easy relationships don't mean lazy relationships. Can you expound on that?
See, it's funny because y'all will call me out and y'all like, yeah, Isaiah said this, quote, quote, quote. I'm like, I said that? Yeah.
said that. Look, that's what happens when you're in the moment giving this stuff out every day.
Listen, yeah, because I'm usually not thinking about it. But yes, easy, what I've understood is this. Easy relationships are not lazy relationships. And what I mean by that is, there are certain relationships you show up in, whether they have conflict or not, right? It's still easy for you to be present. It's still easy for the other person to be present. Easiness does not negate effort, right? Mm-hmm. Easiness does not negate intention. The relationship becomes easier because of those things, right? Somebody who's willing to say, hey, I value you, and I'm going to keep showing you that I value you to the best of my ability. And that's it. It's easy at that point, because if somebody values you, they're going to always figure out a way to do that. And they'll show you. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to a lazy relationship, that's where the entitlement comes in. Or somebody just thinks, oh, yeah, well, you know, we should still be friends even if we don't talk for 6 months. It's like there's so much life that happens in 6 months, even in a week. Right? So if you're telling me that you're too busy in life to talk to me for 6 months, then you should recognize on the opposite end, I have life going on too. I'm not waiting for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, tomorrow isn't promised, the next 5 minutes. So when we really kind of think about the importance of who we have in our lives, it becomes a little bit easier to appreciate them. And you're not going to value everybody, and everybody's not going to value you. You know, that's the significance of what connections actually are. The people we bond with is not by accident.
It's not
so, right?
Right.
So in terms of purpose and in terms of people, like there are people you meet on purpose and you have to purposefully be present.
So. Yeah, but I also, you know, this is going to be a interview full of what Isaiah said.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. Yes.
I love it anyway. I've got one question for you.
Yes.
But some relationships, like you said, you don't feel like they're just coincidence. You know, they're right. They're on purpose. But you said right. Some relationships are not meant to succeed past the lesson that they teach.
Correct. Right. And the reason why I say that is because there are some people that we meet in life that are simply a reflection of who we are. Right. And what I mean by that is if you are working through certain traumas, you've been through certain things and you project in a way or you have these insecurities about yourself, someone you meet along the way is going to reflect that back to you, mm-hmm. whether it's their behavior in terms of how they treat you or just how they move through life. You get to see an outward projection of who this person is. Right. Mm-hmm. And if certain things start to resonate with you, it's like they always say, what you spot, you got. So if you are frustrated by somebody's behavior, you're annoyed by certain things. And if you take a pause and ask yourself, why does this bother me so much? Right. Mm-hmm. You learn something about yourself. You learn something about your temperament. You learn something about how you were probably treated. Right. You were taught that this was a bad thing. Right. So now I see it. That's bad. That's annoying. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So once you learn that lesson, sometimes you can have a new relationship with the same person, but a lot of times that relationship may not go past a certain point, especially if it was meant for you to learn something unhealthy and transcend to a healthier space.
Mm-hmm. How does being this self-aware about yourself, others, mm-hmm. and in relationships show up for you on a set when you're acting, when in the gym, when you're doing fitness, when you're yeah. preparing for your next podcast?
Oh, that's an amazing question. I think how it shows up for me is that I learn to not take so many things personal. And personal doesn't mean that I'm ignoring what's happening. Personal just means that, okay, this person, before they got to this spot, they had their own narrative. They had their own story that was going on. Just like when I arrived, I have my own narrative. I have my own story, right? So when I understand it from that perspective, you can just kind of see people as individuals and their own history without getting so caught up in their narrative or in yours, right? Again, not taking things personal, I think is huge. It's a game changer, right? But yeah, it differs because, you know, on set, there's a lot of different personalities. You're dealing with actors, right? We're entertainers, we're artists, which means that we have a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions, a lot of things we're expressing at one time, and that can be a lot, right? Yeah. Because if you have a certain caliber of celebrity, you may be oblivious to the people around you just mm-hmm. by design, right? Mm-hmm. So how you operate on set versus how little old me comes in, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more aware and sensitive to certain things, whereas you, nah, this is water, mm-hmm. right? So you may move a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's just like, and again, I have a degree in psychology and I also have a degree in communication. So the study of people and human behavior is just kind of like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
It can be exhausting though.
I was going to ask, like, how do you turn your brain off sometimes?
I don't. That's why I have so many things. That's why I write. That's why I do the podcast. That's why I have these videos, because it's like my brain doesn't stop. So it's like, mm-hmm. Instead of me trying to force it to not think, I'm just like, all right, cool. How can I transfer this energy into something else?
Yeah. You know that quote that says, don't expect you from you other from people.
Yes.
Yeah. How do we not do that, but value what they're giving to us, not as, you know, identical, but as reciprocal, even though looking for it to match. Because our value system.
Ooh, let me wipe my face and I'm gonna give you the full answer.
Okay.
Because that's a good one and I wanna be present for it. So not expecting you from people goes back to that concept of understanding that we all have a different narrative. We all have a different value system that we've been brought up on. And just because I move this way does not mean that you have the same background. You probably haven't had the same experiences to make you as self-aware or as empathetic, or vice versa, how I may move, right? Especially when it comes to like women, there are certain things I will never experience in life, right? So if the expectation is for me to have a certain level of awareness past what I do, I'm like, well, I can't. By design, I can't have that. I'm willing to learn, though, but I can't have that similar awareness. So expecting you from me will only set you up for failure. So when you learn to not expect yourself from people, it takes a minute, right? Because you have to be disappointed a couple of times first.
Yeah. Just part of life, right?
You gotta, because the thing is this, we're told to not have expectations of people, and that's impossible. We have relationships for a reason, right? It's not like you walk down the street and every person you come across, you're like, oh yeah, you're supposed to do this for me. You're supposed to do this for me. You know, it's not that. When you're in relationship with another person, by design, you have expectations.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because people are like, there's a lot of people who say you should have no expectations of people, but I don't even think we're designed for that.
No, we're not, because we're creatures of community. We're pack animals. So the expectations is to always have some kind of need being met. That's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I always find it, the people who say don't have expectations. And I had discourse with a woman once who was like, yeah, don't expect much from people. And I asked her simply, I was like, are you married? And you probably have children, right? Which means that when you come home from wherever you are, your expectation is that those people are still going to be there and they're also going to care for you.
Yeah.
So by design, you have expectations of the people around you. So for you to tell somebody else that they shouldn't have expectations, it's easy for you because you're already being taken care of. But you're also very removed from their personal situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can, you know, spout off certain wisdoms that they've read on Google or they heard in passing. But it's like when you really get down to the grit of it, it's like you're just regurgitating something that you yourself don't even digest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And we pass it off on memes. We pass it off in Facebook status quotes.
Yes. So, yeah. All the time. It's like, oh, it's another quote that passes by. And it's like, you know, sometimes I see those quotes and I'll even take my time reading certain things. I'm like, okay. And then I'll look at the comment section, because people can be very brutal, very honest in the comment section. So I'll read certain things that people say and I'm like, oh, this is a different perspective. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It just means that it's different. You know? So yeah, the stop expecting you from people. You can have expectations of people, but when you recognize the difference between your standards and your expectations, or you recognize that somebody may not meet your expectations, you can pivot. Yeah. Right? You don't not have expectations and continue to exist in the same relationship, because that's where resentment builds. Mm-hmm. It's like walking into a job and hiring somebody who's not qualified for the job. Okay, right. You knew that I wasn't qualified. You're still expecting me to do a job that I cannot do.
Exactly. And this is something I wanted to know from your perspective either too, is like when people lie and omit the truth on a consistent basis, how is it that their action still always tells the truth? And yet we either decide to dismiss the red flags or completely miss them altogether.
Well, two things are happening when that happens. First of all, we are not seeing somebody for who they are. We are seeing somebody for what we idolize them to be. That's one. But the thing about people, again, we're creatures of habit. It takes about 30 days to start a habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
30 to 90, let's say that. And we get very comfortable in our ways, which means that I can say, you know, like if I'm training a client, for example, and I'm like, all right, cool, we're going to squat heavy today. We're going to do 300 pounds. And they're like, yeah, I can do 300 pounds. That's perfect. All right, cool. So they set it. But when it comes to actually squat that weight, it's too much for them to carry. Why? Because they're not accustomed to carrying that amount of weight. As people, we are not accustomed to moving in a certain way. And again, we seek comfort and convenience first. So even in our bodies physically, we will tell you our truth. It's just who we are, because it's like trying to fit somebody into this little mold and they constantly break out. It's like, I'm not supposed to fit in here. This doesn't work for me. It's uncomfortable. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, when it comes down to people telling you their truth without them realizing it, we are always playing show and tell.
Yes.
Always.
I'm just like, it doesn't even matter if they lie because they show up as themselves.
You want to tell me?
You just got to pay attention.
Yes. You want to tell me what I need to know, but also your body will tell you. And I think one of the important things that people talk about is always like, you know, trust your intuition, trust your gut. There are a lot of people who are very traumatized and they associate intuition with trusting their gut, or they associate their trauma with intuition. When in reality, you're just not used to safety. So anything that kind of peaks for you, in essence, yes, it's a danger to you because you're not used to it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's your intuition. It just means that this is your trauma response. And you're just responding to what you think is dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. So even in that, I think that's become a very overused kind of rhetoric in terms of like, oh yeah, trust your gut. Yeah, sometimes trust yourself, but also somebody has probably shown you that they were no good from the very beginning, but you ignored it.
Exactly. I learned that from myself, like listening to somebody versus just being quiet and watching. They're gonna tell you, even if it's the opposite of what they say. Now, you mentioned training a client. Now, I know you do coaching, but I also didn't know that you train people in the gym as well, fitness.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so I'm a certified personal trainer.
Right.
And I have a specialization in behavioral specialization. So it's the psychology behind exercise and how people behave when it comes to exercise. So that in itself, it's again, all psychology. So I can understand somebody's habits within about a couple of sessions working with them, right? I could also understand how their bones work, what side they favor, right? What their diet is. There's a lot I can kind of perceive very early on from working with clients.
What are some of the differences or similarities that you have in clients that you work with, you know, in the gym versus people that you work with, you know, for mental health and coaching? Yeah.
Well, heart work is hard work. Okay.
Okay.
And when it comes to your mental health, but also your physical health, it's exercise. It's repetitive, which means that it can be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you get to a certain point working with somebody mentally, there are certain triggers that come up. There are certain defaults that they have, right? Mm-hmm. Multiple. So even when I'm working with a mental health client, let's say they're always late to the session. Okay, that tells me a lot, right? The same thing applies with a person that is late to the gym all the time, right? Mm-hmm. To some degree, you're self-sabotaging. So the psychology is existing in both realms in terms of like how somebody just operates in their day-to-day. So yeah, they're not very different. And again, hard work is very uncomfortable. It requires consistency, but it requires you to be intentional.
How do you refill your cup when you're always giving?
Ooh, that is, that's an amazing question. And I have a few different ways. First of all, I always talk about the importance of your relationship. So I have a couple of good people in my life. And sometimes we are just talking, communicating. They remind me of certain things. I remind them of certain things. And that's a beautiful exchange. But also I take time for myself, right? And I'm pretty introverted. So it's like a lot of times I spend time doing my own thing, or I'll go to a bookstore. Like I do my thing. Exercise is amazing for me too. So I find different ways to take care of myself. And sometimes I don't even realize it. But I'm a big journaler as well. So it's like getting things out there is very important. I'm a big handwriter. So it's funny. Yeah. Okay, so I do something. I write 5 gratitudes a night. And I do that in my phone. So every night I write 5 gratitudes. But when it comes to journaling, I handwrite it because I like the physicality. And again, it's exertion of energy. It's exercise.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm talking about. When my mind is faster than my hand. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be, I'm going to end it right here because I didn't got a cramp. That's what I'm looking for, Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, you just gotta take a pause and you gotta give yourself a break. Like if you have more to talk about, you're like, all right, cool, I'll be back. I'm going to come back and then I'm going to get into it. But sometimes by the time you come back to it, it's like, all right, I have a new thought completely.
Yeah,
that's the thing about journaling is not so much about getting everything out. It's just about getting what you need out to feel fine.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? When I went to look at your list of podcast episodes, everybody has a podcast and he has a new episode every Monday. I was he doesn't have any rules to his podcast either, because it's like 30 minutes, 7 minutes, 1 minute. Can you tell me what made you come up with that kind of, pattern or
just
you do it?
Well, see, I apply the podcast for me is kind of like a journal, and I have the same application in terms of how if I usually try to keep it between like 20 minutes and 30 minutes. So again, by the time I stop talking, I realize I'm like, all right, cool. I don't want to talk anymore. I said what I needed to say. Right. Because the goal for me is to not.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't want to talk anymore. I'm like,
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. But I try to keep it within the confines because I understand too the attention span of people. We have a very short attention span, especially now, because there's a lot of information we're always digesting. So I think about it in terms of like, when would it be beneficial to listen to this? On your lunch break, while you're driving somewhere, maybe you're just sitting at home. 20 minutes is good, right? And you can retain it, right? It's not too much you're trying to digest. So yeah, 20 minutes, 25 is usually my cutoff. The 1 minute is, so that's the bonus content, and it's called the moment of your time. And basically it's just this little tidbit to kind of take with you on the day, whether it's a poem, whether it's an affirmation, something simple that you could just chew on, be like, all right, cool. This will take it.
Because it's like you just wrote your own rule. You're like, whatever y'all doing, this is what I'm doing.
Yes. Well, it's funny because I think when I first started the podcast, I was like, well, I love horror, but I also love mental health. I'm going to do what I want. So I created a space to have both of those. And even now I just finished writing my second book, and that is a horror fiction.
Wow.
I was like, just do.
And
just
I would never associate what you're talking about with horror fiction, but I would think you'd be able to come with some pretty incredible stories.
Like I said, my mind doesn't turn off. So it's like, it's just finding different ways to give room to all parts of who I am, right? Yeah. Because we're very three-dimensional people. And again, you don't have to fit into a box that's not made for you.
Yeah, And you can create your own situation, like how you did the podcast. I just love when I saw it like that. Oh, I want to know, how did you get from, quote, am I good enough for this versus understanding that I may actually be far better of a human than I think? How does one make that jump?
I think using external history as a ways of documenting just how great you are, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes our mental voice, they don't get out much, right? So they will only kind of repeat a certain narrative that we were told by someone else who didn't get out much, right? Mm-hmm. And so their experiences are limited. And it's also fear-based. So when you start looking at the people you keep around, the things people say, right, the work that you've accomplished, you now have information that, okay, as small or insignificant as I think that I am, here's all the information that proves otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, right?
Receipts.
Receipts. Yeah, and that's why I appreciate social media, because it's helped me very accountable, and it reminds me of like, look, you're not just talking into the wind. There are people that are listening and obviously quoting you. and, you know, this comes with a lot of responsibility, but at the end of the day, you're not insignificant.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
What are some of the clues that life leaves for us in evaluating relationships that you see that we tend to ignore the most?
Oh, that's such a good question. Um, if you find yourself having the same conversation repetitively and there hasn't been an adjustment, and then you find yourself trying to rationalize the behavior, right? That's usually when you know it's time to go. Because the minute we so here's a funny thing that we do. When we are unwilling, but we know we need to make a very hard decision, we start backpedaling. We're like, oh yeah, but it's not so bad. Or, you know, but maybe I was overthinking it. Or maybe, you know, they were just having a rough day, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Right? We start getting very creative and we start rationalizing. And that's when you know life is leaving you a lot of clues. It's like, hey, so I showed you this. I showed you this too. You keep saying how you want better, but yet and still, this is what you're resorting to. I'm going to just leave this here for you, right? So clues, the clues that are left is usually repetition of what we are aware of. Also our inner dialogue when we start trying to rationalize certain behavior, but also how we feel sometimes. When you start to feel like you're minimizing yourself or you hesitate to even share good news with the person, right? Mm. And you try to keep things very surface, or just by design, you don't really want to spend time with them as much as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
These are clues that there is something in the water in terms of the relationship. Maybe it's just a simple conversation that needs to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, there is information in terms of like how your body responds too. Because again, we're very instinctive, right? So we can spot whether something is healthy for us or not. Sometimes we may try to glaze over somebody who's unhealthy and be like, well, yeah, they're this. Or we'll glaze over somebody who is healthy as unhealthy because, oh, this person's boring. We don't fight at all. So they're not stimulating me enough. It's like sometimes you being stimulated is somebody being very hot and cold with you, and you feel like you got to chase them to keep them around because you feel like you gotta work for love, right? That's another thing. Right. Love is not something that's earned. It's an essence. Okay. Yeah. I always say, I don't believe that love is a choice. I believe you choose to treat people that you claim to love. How you choose to treat them is the choice. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, going back to how we exist in the world, you could be driving down the street. Somebody's in the car next to you. Somebody's in the car over here. You don't love those people. You don't even know them. You don't have a connection with them. Right. If love was such a choice, you'd be like, hey, I don't know you, but I love you. Hey, I don't know you, but I love you too. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We have connections for a reason, okay? But when you truly do care about a person, you also care about how you make them feel and how you treat them.
Yes, okay. Yes. I saw that quote, and at the end, it said, the end. It was so final. Like,
yes,
people who love you care about how they make you feel.
Every time. And some people may say that they love you, but in actuality, they're not treating you very lovingly.
You can love me all day long in a way that you want to love me, but I don't feel loved by you because it's correct. Not translating to me.
Bingo, right? How we are, how we respond to love and how we communicate it is also a thing as well. But again, if you do love a person, you are going to make sure that you're loving them in a way that they can comprehend. So that's also another part of it. But also when we talk about love languages, people fail to realize it's like, okay, you're telling everybody this is your love language. I'm gonna ask the service, you gotta do these things for me, or whatever the case may be. But it's like, all right, so do you do those things for yourself?
Or come on now, Isaiah.
You know?
Come on.
Right? Do you do these things for yourself? Or when you're in a bad place, how do you revoke that love from you? Right? And that's where the hiccup comes in, because a lot of times people are expecting other people to love them better than they love themselves.
And that's always a misstep. Always a misstep.
Always. Always.
How important is the relationship you have with yourself in making meaningful connections with other people?
Listen, the relationship you have with yourself sets the tone for every other relationship you have in your life. Even if you don't have a great relationship with yourself and it's something that you're working on, you can either be receptive to somebody treating you better than how you treat yourself and receiving that and letting that be information. Hey, I'm more significant than what I think I am. Or if I think so low of myself, then the smallest thing that somebody gives me, even if it's just breadcrumbing or disingenuine, I'm going to receive that as, oh, you must love me, so I'm going to give you everything, right? Because I've been taught that, again, I have to work to earn my keep. And you're giving me this little thing, which means that I earned it, right? Mm-hmm. So your relationship and your awareness of who you are and how you move through life is vital, because it will remove you from a lot of spaces, but it will also take you to the spaces that you're actually seeking.
Yeah. And you said in the article that we have to get used to being treated well. But how do you do that if you're not used to treating yourself well, or maybe, you know, how you grew up, you weren't treated well?
Well, you get used to it when you recognize what's happening in that moment. So if somebody is treating you well and it feels funny, right? It feels uncomfortable. You remind yourself, hey, this isn't bad. This is just different. And you actively have to do that. You have to be like, hey, you're not in danger. This just feels uncomfortable because this is not what you're used to receiving.
Right.
But obviously this person cares about you because this is what they're doing, A, B, and C, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you sit still a little bit instead of running, right? You get in the habit of being very still in your spirit, I say, and being mindful of like, all right, what's happening versus what do I think is happening?
Mm-hmm. Nice. You know? Nice. And please talk about adult relationships being invite only.
You are hitting me with all the things. So I love this. So adult relationships are invite only. So again, if we're using how busy people talk about, right, how busy people are, whether they're busy with their job, their hobbies, their significant other, their children, whatever, people are always busy. Which means that our time as adults becomes very condensed. We don't have much time for a lot of things, which means that if I don't have that much time, who am I giving my time to, right? You got to be significant for me to kind of want to engage with you, because at this point, I'm taking time from something else that I can be doing.
Yeah.
Right? So adult relationships are, in fact, invite only. Even with family, I don't have to necessarily engage with a family member who is not respectful of me just because we're family. Because that goes both ways. Respect is a reciprocal kind of thing. You're not just entitled to it because we're family, but because we're family, you think that it's okay to treat me poorly. It's not how it works. So yes, adult relationships are invite only because, again, life is short and my vitality relies heavily on the company that I keep.
Yeah, nice. And you said there's a difference between trying to change somebody and the person changing their behavior because they realize the impact of their behavior on the other person.
You are hitting me. Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So the way I think about it is this. You know, sometimes it's a difference between having a bad habit and having a character flaw. Right. Let's say somebody always leaves a cup on the edge of the counter and you're like, hey, can you not do that? Because you're going to eventually knock this cup over and then we're going to have shattered pieces all over the floor. Somebody's going to get hurt. All right. It doesn't take much for you to put the cup in the sink now and learn that. That's not a character flaw. That's just a behavioral pattern, if you will. Right. So when people get caught up in the, oh, you're trying to change me or whatever, it's like, I'm not trying to change you, but. Well, no, I'm not trying to change you as a complete sentence. I'm just trying to change this particular habit because it's affecting our relationship, right?
Right, yeah.
The goal is to not change.
People always are responding with, oh, that's just the way I am. And you learn from hearing a lot of gurus, like you can't change another person. You can only change yourself. But if your behavior is impacting the relationship, you know, and you care about how you're making that other person feel, I think that taking a look at what you can do to improve the situation is only going to improve the relationship. And why wouldn't you want that?
Why wouldn't you want that? See, the thing is some people are in deeper relationships with their ego than they are with you. So, you know, I'll take it as a charge to you trying to fix me versus me understanding that this is a behavior that hasn't worked for me. If I'm looking at the history of my relationships or people that may be okay with it, move just as shicey as I do.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in that space, you can't change people, but you can change your people.
Okay? Ooh. See, that's the things that be getting me. Like, you can tell you're a writer. You can tell that you're a wordsmith because a lot of your videos, it's yes. just, you just change two words and it changes the whole impact and it hits yes. people like bricks and then you get a flood of comments.
I get a flood of comments and people are like, oh man, this speaks so much to me. And it's so funny because it doesn't always hit me. I'll be real. It doesn't always hit me because I'm like, this is just me talking and having a conversation with you guys, but also having a conversation out loud sometimes. But again, experiencing people or being aware of people, I can recognize that we are all going through something and we're all just trying to get home safe. Right?
Yeah.
Just trying to get home safe.
Yeah.
And home is a metaphor for just being at peace and having mm-hmm. people around you that matter and that you matter too. But yeah, sometimes there's so much information in the words and sometimes it's not even about the word, it's the feeling under it.
Well, what started your TikTok journey? Was it during the pandemic? Was it prior to it? Like, tell me your journey on TikTok, because that's where I discovered you. Not that you didn't exist before then, but
right. yes.
for well, me and all the other TikTok peoples, how did you come to be?
Well, TikTok, I resisted it for a while. I resisted it for a good year or two because it was after the pandemic that I got on TikTok. Yeah, it was afterwards. I was like, I'm not going to be dancing on TikTok. I was like, I can dance, but I'm not about to be dancing on here. That's not what I'm here for. I don't have time for this.
Right.
And I was so adamant on not being camera face, and I was like, people aren't going to be watching me. People don't want to watch me and listen to what I have to talk about. I was like, that's just not a thing. I was like, I don't have anything to talk about. And finally, I think it was 2021. I was like, you know what? I'm going to lean into TikTok and I'm just going to talk about what I know. And I was like, well, what do you know? You know people, you know mental health, lean into it. And one of my first videos that really took off was about boundaries and understanding. Listen, that had the room hot because either people agreed or people were like, oh, this isn't right. I'm like, look, you can't tell somebody how they're allowed to be treated so you can have access to treating them poorly. It's not how it works.
That's a bar right there, Isaiah. I don't know what an ether beat is, but that's a bar.
yes. Yeah. So I think I've just leaned into it. And since then, I've just been leaning more into that because I understand that comes easily. And I also recognize how many people it's helping. So I'm like, I must be doing something right. So let me do it. You know?
I mean, this man got over 100,000 followers. So listen, somebody is out there listening, okay?
Apparently.
But did it surprise you? Did your popularity of what you had to share? Because I think that you're talking like, I'm just talking about what I know, but I also feel like sometimes you're talking and you're being used as a vessel to reach people.
That part, my popularity still surprises me because there's never a time where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm an influencer. I'm like, yeah, I'm just this person that has a social media following or whatever. And then people are like, you're an influencer. I'm like, no, not really. I just like to, you know, talk about these things. But it does surprise me. And man, the being used as a vessel, I think, is a real thing because Isaiah is a prophet, right? And, you know, I try to mean what I say and say what I mean with intention and impact. So I'm kind of leaning into it. And I recognize it does come with a lot of responsibility, right? And people will challenge you, right? It will make other people uncomfortable. And that in itself comes with a whole different narrative. So it's a lot.
Yeah, I can only imagine because you're not talking about fluffy things all the time. You're talking about things that challenge people and how mm-hmm. they move in the yes. world, whether yes. it be on the side that you're talking or the opposite side.
Yes.
And what I've come to know is a lot of people are not used to being called out on their stuff. And I think that a lot of your videos call people out.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that at first until people started challenging me. And, you know, something that I've learned is that, again, these people don't know me and I don't know them. So them projecting so hard is just an indication of things that they are not working through or haven't worked on, right? You don't know me, but what I'm saying is familiar to you.
Yeah.
Right? There, I'm saying certain things that would potentially cost somebody a relationship.
Yep. Or make you review it.
Listen, get out the assessment and the data chart and you start comparing numbers and doing all the math, the pie. It's like, oh, okay. So this has been a little lopsided for the past however many years. You know, I think the misconception with people a lot of times when I do talk about this stuff is the perceptions that, oh, Isaiah just throws away his relationships. Actually, no. Right. I'm hard body for my relationships and the people in them or that I have relationships with. Why? Because I understand how important they are.
Yeah. No, what comes across to me is that you don't leave a lot of space or room for people who are not reciprocating that same kind of energy. It might not be identical, but it's definitely right. going to be reciprocal. And and look, it's, you know how they say, we ain't got room. There's no room. We're
cool. Maximum capacity, because it's again, I'm a very understanding person and I'm not a quid pro quo person. I know how I'm willing to show up in life and other people won't show up identical, and that's fine. Yeah. But I can recognize when somebody's trying and when somebody's trying me. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
So in that space, it's like, all right, cool, if that's how you move, I'm gonna move out your way. It doesn't need to be this big thing, but I think people are offended that you don't tolerate their behavior versus them recognizing that their behavior is not okay.
Yeah. And you also said one of the bravest things you will ever do in this lifetime is walk away from people you still care about.
Yes.
And do we not do that? Do we not do that?
Listen, I'm still fighting in the comments with people because I think the immediate default is that, oh, that's not bravery or no relationship is perfect. It's like, you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
I just simply said, you know, when you recognize you're not being valued and you're holding yourself accountable. See, that's the thing about what I talk about. There's always a level of accountability involved, right? Because anybody could walk through the streets and be like, yeah, this person treated me poorly. This person did this. And it's like, all right, cool. Well, what did you do or did not do? Well, that is like, no, hold yourself accountable first, and then you can make more of an honest decision and your relationships won't be as scarce or as unhealthy or disoriented, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, people fail to realize it's like, I don't need to have a connection with you to love you.
Wow. And that's not real.
It's real, right? But the determination of our connection also depends on how well I love myself. If I recognize that this relationship is not information in terms of how well I love myself, then I have to make some adjustments.
Yeah. And I also love that you said, like, I don't have casual relationships and it is that deep. No. It is that deep.
Yeah. Because again, we talk about adult relationships and how our time is very limited. I'm not on borrowed time. And again, I always know that there's something else I could be doing with my time. Mm-hmm. So to have a casual relationship is like, people are not buffers for me. Obviously, I got enough work to do and something to think about. So it's like, I don't really need the entertainment of somebody just filling space. It's like, no, if we're taking up space in each other's lives, let's be intentional about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to know what lesson that you had to learn so that you could heal the most.
Stop expecting you from people.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that allows me to evaluate relationships with a lot more clarity, but also recognizing I could be kind and still not let people play with my kindness, right?
How are you able to achieve that? Because that really seems like something that we all could learn from.
Yeah, well, you have to ask yourself, what's more important to me? Is it being liked by people or being valued by people? Because those are very different audiences, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people could like you until they don't. You say one wrong thing, now this person doesn't like you anymore. Oh, okay, you were just along the ride because what I said fed your ego. But in terms of value, you're going to appreciate me to some capacity beyond just the surface. Right. So in order to accept and recognize that I could be kind and still have boundaries, you have to ask yourself, what's my biggest concern, being liked or being valued?
Yeah.
And I'd rather be valued.
Yeah, value. Yes, value. That right here. I mean, that can take you a long, long way. Well, that's a lifetime friend. That's a lifetime family, just to be valued, because it shows up in work, you know, not just in talking, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I do appreciate is like whenever I'm being interviewed, and this is probably one of my favorite interviews, but it's like understanding that you are valued in so many ways beyond just what you think. And even when things are not going great, there's still a glimpse of what is working. And it just comes down to who you are and what your reputation is. So thank you for having me, because it is a beautiful reminder of like, this is what value looks like.
Oh my goodness. Where's the tambourine?
Come on now.
I get the tambourine on that one.
Thank you.
The day after Easter, too.
Come on now. He has risen.
He has risen. He rose.
It rose. He is here. Yes.
I want to know, in dealing with others, like, why do people get so comfortable and with us, like, you know, people who give too much? Mm-hmm. I was a hyper in the, you know, single parent home.
Yes.
Oldest child. So I was very self-reliant. And so I showed up into relationships not needing a bunch from you, but giving a whole bunch.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? And at some point, I hit a brick wall, because we're human and you're going to need. But I never, you know, voiced those needs. But why is it cool for other people to just receive? They see the imbalance, I'm sure. Because they're doing for other people.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah.
And so what is the dynamic when you're like overgiving and people are comfortable with getting their needs met, but not even knowing that you have any, let alone meeting them?
That's a great question. Well, think about an infant, right? An infant just knows that I exist and I'm here to get my needs met. And when we think about adults, a lot of adults' emotional maturity doesn't grow past a certain point, but also they may have been taught how to be manipulative and to be selfish, right? The thing about it is we all need to be taken care of, right? We all need to be taken care of. So the whole hyper-independence thing, I think, is just a construct of society teaching people to not seek out the help of other people so those people can feel okay about not supporting them. Right.
So, no, I mean, I think I taught my mom about interdependence, because she was like, I'm independent. I said, no, you need other people. We need each other. We might not need each other all the time, and you might be stronger and not need as much, but we all need each other at some point.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And I think there's, you know, needing people is associated with being weak. And no. Think about it. You go to a job every day because you need to make money. The company needs you to work so they can make money, right? Gas stations need you to bring your car to fill up gas so they can make money. You need gas in your car so you can go make money. So it's all of this just constantly happening. We always need people, right? And interdependence is a different narrative that most people aren't taught, because it gets into the nitty gritty of what you're insecure about. Why does it feel so unsafe and uncomfortable to have needs, right? Where were you told, or how were you treated in a way that made you feel like asking for what you need was shameful?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's manipulative. you know? So people who just take from others, they are operating from a very infantile space in the sense of like, I just know how to get my needs met. I don't necessarily have the tools, whether by choice or just by happenstance, to give you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why sometimes people get upset when you do help them.
Yeah. There's those out there.
Yeah.
I do it all by myself.
Yeah. It's like, nah, I got this or whatever. It's like, well, what does that prove? Because subconsciously what you're telling yourself is that you don't deserve to be supported.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it took me it took me actually becoming exhausted or getting out of my 20s to realize like,
No,
you're going to need somebody at some point. So first off, figure out what your needs are and then surround yourself with people who are willing to meet them and that you're willing to meet theirs. But to go around like you don't need anybody, that's just not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. And what it does is it prevents you from building honest trust and intimacy in your relationships. Because on the flip side of somebody who's constantly being told, I don't need your help, they start to feel inadequate in your life and like they can't measure up to certain things.
Mm.
I'm not enough for you to be helped by you.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we say don't take things personal, a relationship is a very personal thing. So again, the information that I'm being fed is that you don't need me. I'm insignificant to you.
Mm-hmm. Man, Isaiah, let me tell you, you are everything.
Come on.
Yes. And like, lastly, before my lightning round with you, how can we take stock in our relationships? Like, what are good questions to ask ourselves and to, you know, really look around and see if we're getting our needs met, if we're meeting the needs?
Yes.
Just for people to go forward. I mean, it's 2023. We're in a whole new chapter of life.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think for one, you can't be afraid of being vulnerable. An example for me is, you know, one of my closest friends in the last 7 years lives in a different state, but we've maintained our friendship over the last 7 years, right? From a distance. We met for the first time this year in 7 years, right?
How did you maintain that? What did that look like?
It's,
I love it. Because you did an appreciation post on for them on Instagram.
I did. Yes. Shout out to my bro. It looks, for me, it's easy just because the way I think about it is like, if I care about somebody, I'm going to show up and I'm always going to figure out how to be present. That's just what it is. It's more about how can I do it, not if I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And within that, you know, we have to have, even as men, having very vulnerable conversations. Sometimes I'll ask, hey, what is it that you need from our friendship? Or do you feel safe in our friendship? Do you feel like you're being heard in our friendship? Right? How does that look to you? Right? I'm very okay with asking those questions. The reason why is because one or two things are going to happen. Either a person is going to lean into it or they're going to step away.
Mm-hmm.
If they step away, okay, we're not in the season where we connect on that level.
Yeah.
Right? If you lean in, it's like, all right, cool. Now we can go a little bit further because there's investment. Right? Any relationship when it comes to taking stock requires vulnerability, and it's not always outward, but just also an internal thing. How do I feel about this relationship? What is the significance of this relationship? Is it more about what this person does for me and how they make me feel? Is it more about what I'm willing to do for this person? Or do we meet in the middle?
Yeah.
Right? Safety first. How safe do I feel in this relationship? And safety represents, do I feel supported when things are going well? Do I feel supported when things are not going well? Right? Do I feel heard, listened to? Do I feel like I'm respected? Right? Do I feel like I can trust this person to be there when I am having an issue?
I mean, those questions you just asked, bro, made me feel more seen than ever before. I'm like, wow, yes. What is this friendship? Are you seen or are you saying, wow, write those down.
Yes.
Hesitation. I mean,
Listen,
I've been more seen asking about him being seen.
That, and it's funny because that does allow other people to see you because they recognize, like, oh man, this person cares about me. Even if I'm not at the level to fully appreciate them, I still recognize that this person cares about me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happened in all kinds of ways for the past 7 years.
In all kinds of ways for the past 7 years. And the way that I think about it is, it's not about how long you've known someone, it's how you've invested in that relationship. So for me, every time there's another year that passes in any of my relationships, I don't get comfortable. If anything, I get more creative in terms of, like, how can I continue to show up even better? Right?
Yeah.
And it's cool because it just reminds you, all right, this relationship still means a lot to me and I'm still looking for ways to plant the seeds and water the soil, you know?
One of the things that I love that you said the most is that in that video that I played at the top of the hour was that mm-hmm. you cannot pause relationships like you do a TV show and yes. come back to it when it's convenient for you. And let's pick up and act like that's organic. That's not.
Yeah. It's not organic. We have to see people as moving parts and not fixtures in our lives, right? I think sometimes we try to be the main character in somebody else's story, for better or for worse. Sometimes we expect ourselves from people. We expect to be prioritized by people. And the same goes. If you're telling me in more ways than one that I'm not a priority to you, and then you come around expecting me to now prioritize you, well, you think that you're the main character in my narrative. You're not.
Yeah. And you don't have to say it because you're acting that way. Yeah.
I got the information I needed, you know?
Amen. Information received. Okay. Here is my quick lightning round for you, sir.
Sure.
Isaiah's lightning round. Early mornings or late nights?
Ooh. These days, I'm up at 3-4 in the morning at the gym. I used to be a big night owl.
Okay.
Can't do it
guilty
anymore.
Pleasure. What's Isaiah's guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. I have a huge sweet tooth. So I love to bake, but I also just like sweets.
favorite dessert?
Oh man, my favorite dessert is it's a variation of strawberry shortcake. It's usually my birthday cake that I make.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Who has impacted you the most in your life?
There hasn't been one person. I mean, my mom, she's a strong woman. My sister is strong. I've been raised by a lot of strong women. So, you know, women are taught the importance of community in general. So I think for me, I take bits and pieces from all the people that are significant. So there's no one person. Okay. Shoot, can I say myself?
Yes, you can.
I'll say myself because it's like.
I think this wouldn't be an Isaiah interview if you didn't.
Listen, little Isaiah has impacted me because who I am now is because he kept showing up.
Ooh, come on now. Not because he kept showing up. Did you keep showing up for him too?
I tell him I appreciate him regularly.
Hey, wait a minute. So I know about us not forgetting about little Quincy or little Isaiah, but how does little Isaiah show up for you? I never heard it said that way.
Wow. So little Isaiah shows up for me in the ways of me understanding that at one point in time, I was a little boy who experienced life and decided to either deviate or lean into certain things and trust that I was enough to get past those moments and those circumstances. So little Isaiah, it's kind of a badass. He's a brave dude, brilliant dude, but more than anything, he's persistent. And, you know, his kindness is ferocious, but all at the same time, he's learned over time to, you know, be receptive to people being kind as well.
Nice. So
he's a homie.
Now, you just shifted me. So I'm going to be pulling on the younger Q. Yeah, because yes. She got a lot of stuff that I lost along the way through life. And I had to go back and revisit some of that, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's so important. So there's one quote that my acting teacher said to me years ago. He said, don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to a three-year-old. Mm. And when we have these negative thoughts about ourselves, we have to understand who's listening. It's little Q, right?
Yeah.
Like she hears those things and then she hears, all right, I'm doing something wrong or I'm not enough or this. So what am I now telling myself? Because I'm walking around with that little kid in me and I'm the adult version that still has to show up in life. So when you take care of the little kid, they also trust you to start driving versus them trying to take the wheel for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I like that. They trust you to not drive them over in a ditch somewhere. They become safe. They become safe.
Yes. Yeah. And there was that quote that says, who you are now is probably who your younger version would have felt safe with. And that can go either way. Because if you find safety in chaos and you're chaotic, well, your younger self is used to that. Right?
Mm. Come on now. Come on. Dropping bars at the end, the middle, and the beginning. But bam.
Consistency.
What makes you laugh?
Oh, what makes me laugh? It's funny. My sense of humor is I don't want to say dark, but it's very nuanced. So for example, there's this one, we talk about guilty pleasures. There's this one cookie company that I follow on Instagram, and every week they have a different lineup of cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I do is I'll watch the video of what their lineup is, and then I'll go straight to the comments. Because when I tell you people are vicious and they're just mean.
Are you serious? Over cookies?
Over cookies! And that's what trips me out. I'm like, y'all are brave and y'all are just rude. And it cracks me up because I'm like, this is who people are. And I'm like, man, it trips me out sometimes. So it's like little weird things just this. Is not, I don't find it funny that people are rude. I just find it funny how brave people are sometimes.
Yeah. And what they're rude about.
Yes.
Passionately rude about.
Yes. You ready to go to prison over some cookies.
Over some cookies.
Right.
And what really gets underneath your skin?
Ooh. Disrespect and selfishness. I don't like seeing people being mistreated, and people that are just blatantly selfish really bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it lets me know you have this air about yourself to walk through a world where other people are actually involved in your growth or lack thereof, and you just feel okay treating them however you want to treat them.
Yeah. Can you give me your opinion on people pleasing? Because the more that I learned about it, mm-hmm. it seems as if, you know, that it's actually, in my opinion, selfish.
Yeah.
Because, but they come across like, I'm doing this for you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to, you know, I don't want. But really, you can't deal with the reaction. You want to control
what
you feel.
Yes.
So really, it's not about other people. You're not people pleasing at all. You're really pleasing you.
Yourself. Yes. There's that quote that says, no one's thinking about you as much as you think they are. And even when you have a thoughtful person, because I catch myself too, even when you're thinking about someone, you're thinking about yourself. Right. And what I mean by that is we people reflect back who we are. Right. So a lot of times, even when you're going above and beyond for somebody, subconsciously, that's you trying to take care of yourself who was abandoned or neglected.
Mm.
Right. Which is why when you don't get it on the receptive end from that other person, you feel some type of way. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
they are just trying to manipulate the situation in order to create a level of safety and or acceptance. Manipulation has a negative connotation, right? But manipulation is manipulation. And people pleasers have learned the only way I'll accept you is if you do what I need, even when I don't know that I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want you to like me because if you like me, that means that I'm safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to do these things that I think will make you like me, even if I don't want to, because I can't deal with the reaction of you not liking me, because then I don't feel safe.
I don't feel safe. I don't feel valued. I don't feel like I am getting the praise that I need. And now I am resentful. I'm invalidated, right? Mm-hmm. I become bitter sometimes, but also I become a shell of a human. People pleasing is a very, like, it's a tricky one, because a lot of women tend to be people pleasers mm-hmm. because society mm-hmm. tells them you're only as good as who is attracted to you, mm-hmm. right? You're only as good as the relationship that you have. Otherwise, you're not.
Yep.
Right? So people pleasing becomes an operative in terms of getting your needs met by constantly going above and beyond to meet somebody else's needs.
Yes. And that's so, yes, Isaiah. Yeah. Favorite artist?
We're talking about music?
Music, yeah.
I don't have one. It's funny. Spotify called me out. They said that I listened to over 181 different genres of music last year.
Wow.
I listen to everything.
You're diverse.
A little bit.
Yeah. I caught one of your lives and I was like, what is this? What is he listening? What is that?
Yeah. I
never heard that ever.
This is new. What is this? Yeah. Yeah, I listen to everything. I listen to everything. And I think, again, as an artist, and there's just so many layers of who Isaiah is, and each of them has a different taste.
And I'm like, And you feed them, which I love.
Yes, I try to nurture those dudes for sure.
Favorite actor?
That's a hard one too, because man, I don't have a favorite actor. I can tell you someone who I love and adore, and I always have, Angela Bassett is one of my favorites.
Okay.
I want to work with her one of these days.
Want to? We just gonna put it out there that you are going to work with her. We're manifesting that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We throwing the word want out the window, okay?
I'm working with Miss Angela.
Yes. Can you come up with one word that defines you? You say your sister calls you Jack because
yes. Yes. Yes, she calls me Jack, and I love that. One word that I can define me is I want to find a better word than eclectic, because that's used, right? I'd say visceral. If I could use that word to describe.
Yeah, right? You can use whatever you want.
Everything I do is with feeling, and I also recognize that I evoke certain emotions from other people. So it's like my experience in itself has always been very impactful, and this is why I walk through life the way that I do. So it's like very visceral.
Nice.
Yeah.
The best advice you've ever given?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, the best advice I've ever given.
You've given and received.
Well,
they must stand out, I'm sure.
Well, don't talk to yourself like you don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to a 3-year-old is one of my all-time favorite things that I preach. But I think a variation of that I like to give out is treat yourself like somebody that matters to you. Right? And go from there and understand, when we talk about unconditional love, the value that you have for yourself shouldn't be based on external conditions, right? If you're having a bad day, work is not going well, you got laid off, whatever the case may be, why are you a lesser person because those things happen?
Yeah, because you're not. You're not.
You're not.
Podcasting or writing, if you had to choose?
Oh, writing.
Writing.
Yes.
A day on the set acting or a day in the gym?
I would go to the gym before I go to set.
I know that's right. It's like, you ain't gonna catch me up.
Yeah, you ain't gonna catch me slipping. I might have a donut at Crafty.
Right.
Earn that donut, right? I'm going to the gym first. Right. But yes. In a heartbeat. I think the gym for me, honestly, Q, is It reminds me of what I'm capable of in so many different ways. And it also allows me to just focus and concentrate. When I'm on set, I'm working and I'm doing something that I love. And both of them require me to, again, recognize what I'm capable of.
Yeah. Well, before I ask you to do a drop and let you go, can you talk about this right here for the people?
Oh, that old thing.
That old thing. This thing right here. Can you talk about that? And where they can get it? Hold on. Let me get you a banner going. Let me get Come on with the banner. Come on with the CNN ticker.
Come on. Oh, you are spelling out. Yes. Yes.
Tell us about this and why we need to have it.
So the coloring book is a creation literally from scratch. Even if you look at the cover, I designed that cover from scratch. So the color scheme, the sketch on it, even the composition side of the notebook, all of that was me doodling away and like creating something very unique. And the cover in itself represents what the book is about, kind of being a kid, but also doing the adult work. And it's all about inner child work, right? Because what we fail to understand is that even though we're adults, we're just children who eventually got older. And a lot of times, going back to the child driving the car, there are still components of our child self that's still looking to matter and be heard and feel seen and feel significant. So it's more of like an adult coloring book, but also a workbook. And even the illustrations in it, I drew. So it was an opportunity for me, you know, art imitates life. It was me doing the adult work, writing this book, but also giving my younger self the opportunity to start drawing again. And again, taking care of myself in both of those dynamics. So I talk about boundaries in that book. I talk about, you know, connection being currency. I talk about what forgiveness looks like. I talk about trust. I talk about betrayal. There's so many different elements of just living life as an individual that I think as a person you'll find in that book. And it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I was just recently featured in Barnes & Noble as a Black author.
Come on.
Yeah, so that was kind of crazy. So back in February, yeah. So
kind of black excellence. Come on.
Kind of black a little pinch. Yeah. Yes.
That must have been an awesome feeling. As were you a first time author?
Yes, ma'am. So that was my first.
Wow.
My first published book.
And you got my chosen presented at Barnes and Noble. Wow.
Yeah.
How dope is that?
I was like, are y'all making a mistake? What are y'all doing? Y'all got me next to Tabitha?
Very good.
Listen, that is somebody I am going to work with. I love me some Tabitha Brown. And when I tell you, just her essence and her grace and her peace just really resonates with me. And I keep saying, I was like, I'm going to work with her.
Thank you. I'm glad we've learned from Angela Bassett. I'm going to work with Angela Bassett and I'm going to work with Tabitha Brown.
We hashtag growth.
The universe.
Yes.
We call hashtag it the next time I'm going to be like, so what's Angela and Tabitha like?
Oh, you know, we having coffee in about 20 minutes.
Exactly. And yes. Tell everybody about this, the Bird Brain podcast that premieres every Monday.
Yes.
Where they can get it.
Okay. So
I think I got a banner for that. Where's the? Do I got?
You got a banner?
I think there we go.
Thank you so much. Yes. So the Bird Brain podcast, I designed that hummingbird too. So that's an original.
Nice. I saw you had a T-shirt of that too. You got merch. Yeah.
So that's my merch. Again, this was my baby in terms of me just allowing myself to do what I do. And let's talk about self-awareness, mental health, personal development. And the way I came up with the bird brain is because, you know, when people think about birds, they're like, you know, birds are dense, you know, they're not the smartest. But if you look at a bird, it'll migrate to a better climate when what they're in is uncomfortable. As humans, we don't always do that, right? We stay in situations that aren't always the healthiest. So in terms of a bird, you know, you see things from a bird's eye view. You remove yourself from the situation sometimes, and you just get a different perspective, right? You stay elevated. You rise above it all. And you just keep going. And the significance of a hummingbird and phoenix, you know, phoenix is always representative of resurrection, rebirth. And a hummingbird, the significance of a hummingbird, it can carry, I think, like 10 times its weight or something like that. But also when it flaps its wings, it creates an infinity symbol. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So this wasn't just something you threw together.
I thought it through.
That's what I love about it.
Yes.
Everything has a meaning. So that visceral, that word is coming through in just all of your projects, you know?
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Man, this has kicked off my Monday and my April in a way that I am so happy. I'm so full. You fill my cup, Isaiah. You fill my cup. And all the people that watch the snippets and the whole, you know, once I edit it together and put it out there, they're going to feel the same way too. I'm going to put it on Apple Podcast and it'll be everything.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. I didn't get to ask you any questions. I'm like, well, I should.
It was your interview, Isaiah.
Listen, it's a group effort.
It's a group project.
Yes. No, but thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you reaching out and, you know, giving me space to talk. And I'm glad that you appreciate what I have to say, because that's a big deal. Real recognizes real, right?
Yeah.
I'm an East Coast boy, so.
And you know, I don't know if you know this, but at parties, I'm from Brooklyn.
At parties, you from
Brooklyn. Because they always going to say, is Brooklyn in the house? But they're yes, right? And I went to an HBCU. I went to Clark Atlanta University. Uh-huh. And so a lot of New York DJs would come down and you know, DJ at the parties that are free for ladies before 11. And and I'm from Springfield, Illinois, and they was never gonna say it's Brooklyn in the house.
So you Brooklyn, so we know it's like
yes,
you was from Brooklyn.
Yes, so that's my fake hometown is Brooklyn.
I love it. Nah, claim it. Home is where you feel at peace, and Brooklyn is
right.
It. Yes.
So yes. You listen. So you're an East Coast boy on the West Coast, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How's that working?
It's funny because people usually meet me. They're like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from the East Coast. And they're like, well, you don't seem like it. You seem kind of laid back. And then I'll ask for something to drink. I'll be like, can I have some water? And they're like, oh.
There it is.
Found it.
There it is.
I found it. You're from the East Coast. You're not from out here. He's an alien for sure. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's cool. I think, you know, being on the West Coast, again, I've learned a lot about myself and just by experiencing other people, you know, it's kind of what you make it, but I've definitely learned a lot about myself and I've built a lot of things since being out here. And man, it's just a reminder that, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know?
But I like the way you're doing it and I like the way you're showing up in the world because you're a beacon. I mean, you're Black, you're male, and you're self-aware. Okay, right there, you didn't cut half the population.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's funny because I refer to my best friend. I call him a beacon all the time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, beacons, you know, they pour out that light and they, you know what I'm saying? They help guide the rest of us. And that's what you're doing in your work.
Thank you.
On TikTok, in this interview, everywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? That light.
Come on now.
Like the theme music, and I'm going to get you sucker. Boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You brought it back. I love it. So funny. Yes.
Isaiah, if anybody wanted to be coached by you, you know, on a one-on-one situation, how would they go about doing that?
So you can reach out to me via email at thebirdbrainpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also visit my website link, which will be posted in this episode. And, you know, one of the questions people always ask is what's the difference between, you know, a therapist and a coach? And for me, the way I operate is that it's not necessarily, for one, I'm not a therapist, right? I'm a coach, which means that I'm going to be present with you along the way. And I don't diagnose, but I can be aware of certain setbacks, certain blind spots to help you in terms of progressing in life. So it's all about solutions and progression. We may touch base on certain past experiences, but we don't stay there because the goal is to always move forward. And we have fun along the way. It's hard work, but it's also heart work.
I love it.
Yay! Yeah. So we got a commercial out of it too.
Come on now.
I'm trying to give you all the things.
I appreciate it. I can't wait. I really appreciate this. This made my Monday, and I was definitely looking forward to it. So thank you.
Yay, me too.
So you're doing something great, and I love your energy, and I love how you take care of, you know, the people that you have on. I've seen like clips and highlights of how you've interviewed other people. I'm like, yeah, you're a good person. So it's like obviously people are going to want to show up and meet you there. So I'm grateful to be here.
Well, thank you. Listen, you already met me there before you knew me because you're meeting all of us there with your content. So man, just continue. I always look for the next post. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I watch you like reruns, just like the Jeffersons.
Thank you.
So listen, it's timeless. The stuff that you're talking about is timeless. And we need it, and we need it from somebody who looks like you.
Wow. I receive that and I don't take it lightly, honestly. So
yeah, I mean, really. And I'm talking about the white people, the women, like everybody needs it from you. Like that's what makes the difference.
Wow.
It's not just what you're saying it, it's who's saying it.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. So thank you. This has been a joy. It's been a joy.
Thank you so much.
And I'll see you in these internet streets.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been such a joy.
Likewise.
Peace, Isaiah.
Take care.
You too, man. Studio Q Show. Now you know.